Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ the Life message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I do my best, and the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, I want you to join in with me in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this blessed day in Jesus' name. We thank you that you have caused us to assemble together again. You have given the Holy Ghost to reveal to us the written word that we may understand the living word, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, I ask today that you anoint the words of my mouth, that it may bring glory and honor to your name. And dear Lord, I pray that you would touch every heart that is tuned into this broadcast, that is seeking for truth, that they shall find it. So Lord, I thank you, I praise you, and I glorify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on possibly another part of the series. I'm not completely through with the last segment of concerning Noah, but I'm doing another part here today, which is entitled The Man of Sin. I want to first start off with a couple of scriptures, and I want to, and if you have your Bibles, I want to lay a foundation here. Let's go first to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, book of Daniel, chapter 7, and we're going to go to verse 8, and I want to lay a foundation here before I go into the meat or the heart of the lesson. Amen. Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. Now, here's what I want to say. Many times in what many call phraseology. Phraseology is the way of organizing words or some of that sort. And many times, not all the time, in what is called phraseology of scripture, it would speak of a body of men or a number of men under the character of one, representing a succession of men leading up to one. I want to show you what I mean from two scriptures. First here, Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. And the word of God says, I consider the horns. Okay, that's plural. And behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now that first is singular. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Okay. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, of course, it mentions this horn. And first it says, I consider the horns, meaning more than one, because it's got S on it. Then he said, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, fell singular, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the root. Now, I said, before whom? So there was three of the first horns plucked up by the root, which means that this horn, this particular horn would be greater than the others. And so in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Now, it is speaking up to the main one, and it is spelled in a singular, and actually it's also in concert with a body of men who had carried the same character of this one particular one. So it was spelled under the singular in the end, because it said, "Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man." And it said, "Before this horn, there were three who were plucked up by the roots." So this horn was greater, but they all carried the same characteristic, okay? The same character, okay? They was blasphemous, evil, and they were antichrist, okay? But yes, still, it's spelled in the end under this horn singular. So this horn not only represent one, but it represents a succession of men leading up to the main one. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to go to verse 6 and 7. Verse 7 will be our key verse. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. The word of God says, "Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." So it's spelled here high priest singular, but it's actually dealing with a succession of high priests who went into the second to the part of the tabernacle where only the high priest were allowed to go. So whenever, let's say, one high priest died out, whoever else became the high priest would go in there and make a sacrifice. But it is spelled, it said the high priest alone, you know, and it wasn't just one person doing it all those years, but a succession of it, okay? But it's put under the spelling of just one singular. So it said, "But into the second with the high priest." Well, we know whoever was high priest at that time went in there and did it. But it also represents a succession of high priests, okay, over the course of time, okay? And I wanted to first set that up to let you know that in some scriptures, even though it is spelled and put in the singular, it can represent a succession of men either leading up to the same one, or it can just represent a succession of men. Okay, so we know that, especially when the high priest, it wasn't just one high priest all the time. Let's say if one died out, whoever else became high priest ended up doing it until, you know, the law was fulfilled. Amen? So, hallelujah. I say that to say this. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I wanted to just kind of lay a foundation there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read Hallelujah, verses 1 to verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 3. And the word of God says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, But that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, in verse 3, when it said, and that man of sin be revealed, this is why I was laying the foundation that this man of sin, throughout time, from the time Paul said is coming up to there, the people face their antichrist in their generation or in their time. So here, even though it said a man of sin, it's really dealing with a succession of men, in this case, leading up to the main one. You understand that? Hallelujah. Because throughout the generations, from especially the time the Apostle Paul said this, each one of them, throughout the generations, during that time, they faced their, quote, man of sin. But this is a represent a succession of men leading up to the main one, okay, or to the final one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, having said that, one of the other things I want to look at is that we notice, first of all, that Paul is talking to Christians. You say, well, why are you going this route? Because this segment of the series here is also dealing with why the pre-tribulation rapture is not true. Now, I'm not here, and some of you say, well, you obsessed with it, eh? No, I'm not obsessed with it. I'm telling you, and as I share with you guys on the other broadcasts, on the other segments, why I'm speaking on this, because, and let's get this straight. Many of my brothers and sisters in Christ who pre-tribulation rapture, I love them. And I believe many of them are true men and women of God. And they do have knowledge of the word of God in other areas, okay? But however, in this case right here, with the pre-tribulation rapture teaching, they're wrong. Okay. Now, I go on to say this. First off, we know that Paul was talking to Christians. You say, well, how do we know that? Because when you read verse 1, he said, now we beseech you, brethren. Okay. Now, Christians also refer to one another as brethren. The word of God tells us that it is brethren in Christ. Listen, sinners are not your brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that some of y'all hear me make the statement. You say, oh, that's harsh. No, that's not harsh. That is scripture. Because everybody's not a child of God. Now, I know you guys have heard some preachers say, hey, we all God's children. But that is not according to the scriptures. That's according to what they say. Now, this is where I stand on this. Either I'm looking at what God says or I'm looking at what man said, and I got to make a decision who I'm going to go with. So my decision is, I'm going to go with what God said because he's the creator, and I pretty much figure he should know everything. Amen. So first of all, we come to understand that Paul was talking to Christians. Why do you bring that point up, Brother Nate? Because if we are to be raptured any day now, what would be the need of us being warned about this man of sin? See, here's the thing. One of the other things that I've seen that also, besides the timing, that is wrong with the pre-tribulation rapture preaching and teaching. Number one, we're telling people and preaching and teaching to them that we can be gone any day. We are telling them that we won't see the great tribulation. We're telling them that we won't see the Antichrist, okay? But yet still, when we read the Bible alone, we see that God is using Apostle Paul to talk to Christians. He was not talking to sinners. So it would make absolutely no sense at all for God to have any of his servants warn his people if his people is not going to be here to face what God is warning them of. You understand that? It would make absolutely no sense. And we know Jesus Christ is not a vain God. He doesn't just tell you stuff for no reason and just do stuff in vanity. That is not him. That's not his character. That is not his nature. So apparently, if God is warning you of something, that means you have the potential of facing it. You understand that? So it would not be of God to warn you of such a thing if you're not going to face it.
Now, of course, other aspects in the teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture is that you have some that teach, well, the only ones that's going to be left is the weak Christians and the Jews who must become Christians. But however, to go further in the teachings, you have some of them that teach that the Holy Ghost is going to be taken from the earth. Well, I'm like, how is people going to become saved if there's no Holy Ghost? How is the supposed to be, quote, weak Christians going to be made strong if there's no Holy Ghost? See, it makes absolutely no sense, okay? Hallelujah. Because people, we can't do this thing totally on our own, even as Christians. Yes, we have our role to play, but the Father has his role to play. And we can't do everything on our own without the Holy Ghost. If that be the case, then I could support this pre-tribulation rapture in saying that the Holy Ghost is be taken from the earth. But however, that is not true. In fact, do you not understand? You could not become born again without the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. The water is not natural baptism water. The water is symbolic of the Word. And the Word and the Spirit are what? One, according to 1 John chapter 5. Amen? So you can't even get saved without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, here in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, something else that we notice here is that apparently, even in Paul's time, there were people who was erroneous. And I mean, that's people that was, they were full of errors. And apparently, about the coming of Christ, apparently there had been some that had been teaching, oh, he has already come. That's it. He's already come. You say, well, why do you say that, Brother Nate? Because when you look at verse 3, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Do you see that? And we are living in a time now, people, okay, that even among the Christian community, we got all kinds of bad teachings floating around. Remember in Matthew chapter 24, when the disciples asked Jesus, said, how do we know, when we know the end of the world, the sign of your coming, sign these things that happen? Remember what he said, first thing he said, take heed that no man deceive you. So he spoke the same thing here that Paul spoke here. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. So you got to watch out for deception. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of my brothers and sisters in Christ, they actually believe in their whole heart, with their whole heart, that we can be gone any day now. And from what I found out, some of them believe in it just because they heard it. Not so much as that they actually search it out themselves. You understand what I'm saying? And so not all of them, I would say, trying to purposely deceive you. Okay? Some of them actually believe it. Some of them, like I said, some of them, you know, had not searched things out. And as a Christian myself personally, I'm still steady learning, people. I'm still steady learning. I'm still steady learning that, you know, you got to learn to search things out. And there's something that the Holy Ghost will witness to you right up front, straight up front, no problem. But most of the stuff, you're going to have to learn how to search out. Go ahead and learn how to search out. And see, we're living in a time now that you have some Christians, they are accepting basically just about anything that's being told that's supposed to be connected to the Lord. And even though they have been getting in their spirit that something's wrong with that, based on who's saying it, they dismiss that. For example, all of us you hear on this broadcast, we all subject to missing. We subject to mistakes. We subject to make error. Okay? That goes without saying. And you have some in the body of Christ when these, and I'm talking about these doctrines or teachings that does not go in line with the Word of God, when some of them hear these things and it's being presented to them, in their spirit they can tell something ain't right, but once again, because of who's delivering it, they dismiss it. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all ever been in that position? Have you ever been in a position where that you knew Even if it wasn't something about something biblical or the word of God, even about some natural things, has somebody ever told you something that you knew something is wrong with what they're saying, but because of who it was, you just dismissed it? And maybe later on down the line, you find out, man, that thing was totally wrong. That thing was totally off. And you said to yourself, I knew something was wrong with that, but what? But because who was delivering it, you dismissed it. You dismissed it. And see, Paul is instructing us like Jesus did. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. Let no man deceive you by any means. Amen. You have to learn to search things out. I remember, and I think I shared this on one of the broadcasts back here a while back. There was a town about 12, 15 minutes away from us that I heard about some years ago, some people in a particular church over there, that this particular minister was telling them that the world finna end or something at a certain particular time. But he had them going selling something, like all what they had or something, and they gave the money to him. Now, you would think, okay, some of you would think, okay, now, wait a minute. Common sense told you, you know, in the world coming in, well, I need to sell my stuff and give the money to you for. Okay, that, I give you that. But also, apparently, these were people that, and don't get me wrong, this is not a mockery at them, because we all subject to missing. But these apparently was people that did not search scripture. They just went by with what he said. And from what I last heard, he took the money or whatever and ran up north with it. Now, I don't know whatever happened after that, okay? But here's the thing. We're living, people, get this, in the days of deception. Paul says it is perilous times. We're living in the days of deception. Now, I'm not telling you just to look under-eyed at everybody you come across, but it also shows that even people who you think wouldn't operate in a deceiving spirit would. Because, see, I don't care how long you be in Christ, you got to continue to endure and walk in Christ. And, see, any of us, if we don't continue to endure and walk in Christ, is subject to take on the wrong character, the wrong spirit, the wrong nature. Okay? Hallelujah. So Paul says here, let no man deceive you by any means. And, see, as he was talking to the Christians at the church in Thessalonica, you know, to give them that advice and let them know, see, he also was telling them that, too, because he let them know that there was some, apparently at that time, maybe some of them, some people that was teaching them or telling them Christ had already come, maybe these people that they greatly respected. You know, we're supposed to have respect for one another. But sometimes, you know, you might greatly respect a person to a point where that you really won't search up some things that you are told by them. Even when you don't understand it, or in your spirit, you kind of pick up that, you know, something, I can't put my finger on it, but something is just missing about what the brother or the sister told me. I just can't put my finger on it. But then, because of who it is, you will dismiss it. And see, sometimes the Holy Ghost may be signifying to you in your spirit, that's not right. That's not right. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, here's the other thing we want to see. As we have read verse 3, in fact, let's read verse 3 again, okay? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except. So when he put except there, he's not telling you that Christ's return is not true. He's telling you it's going to happen, but he said something else. He said except that, in other words, except is pointing you to something else must happen before the coming. Okay. He said, except that coming falling away. Look at the word first. See, this is what I was saying about many of my brothers and sisters in Christ who are teaching this pre-tribulation rapture. One of the things, now the Bible does tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we shall be called up to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air. Okay, that's true. But here's one of the errors, the timing. Because you have those that preach pre-tribulation rapture, They said, oh, this is going to happen for the great tribulation. This is going to happen before the main Antichrist arrives. This is going to happen before, and you won't have to see these things. Timing, number one, the timing by them is wrong. And this is why as Christians, we got to be careful how we are. Let me see the words I can best describe this. How we set an order that is not in line with God's order. Okay? You know, it's just like if some people, they expect that when they pray to God about something, they look for just to get it without exercising faith or without showing patience and enduring faith. Yes, we got to have the faith when we pray for the thing at the moment. That's true. But, however, we also need to have that enduring faith, that perseverance faith with patience to wait until the time of the manifestation of what we petition God for. But, see, you have some Christians think that as soon as they utter it out their mouth, boom, it's supposed to spill right there. Lord, you know I need a car to get to work. Okay, I'm looking outside. Where the car at? I'm just giving you an example because that's how some Christians think, okay, we don't supposed to wait on nothing. It's supposed to, boom, automatically happen to you. Okay? And that's not how it works. There is an order. The word of God lets you know there's an order. He said in Mark chapter 11, he said, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Notice he said, believe that ye receive them. Notice he put it first. And ye shall have them. So the believe that ye receive them, that's your part. And ye shall have them is God's part. And so God's part, which is the manifestation, comes after you do your part. You get that? That's an order. But if you're expecting the, and ye shall receive them, become before the you ye believe that ye receive them, it's not going to happen. You didn't put it out of order. And see, that's one of the things in the Christian community that I believe that we have done on various things. We have taken it out of order or out of text. And so we're trying to put it in the place where God didn't put it. So God didn't put the, quote, caught up in the place where pre-tribulation rapture teachers and preachers have put it. They'll put it, like I said, any day now. It's an any day now. The caught up is an any day now. Well, that's not according to Scripture. And so as we see here, as we have been studying, we see that the Lord is warning his people of these events and things that's going to happen. And you go to yourself, well, wait a minute. If we are going to be gone, what are you warning us for? If we're not going to face this, what are you warning us for? It makes no sense. You get that? It makes no sense. So I get that. I get that. Now, here's the other thing we need to notice here. Read verse 3 again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, here's the other thing we need to notice. This man of sin mentioned in verse 3 has a connection to what? The falling away. Because notice he said there had to be a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. So there's a connection, okay? Now, when you look up the original Greek word for falling away, the original Greek word there for falling away that was translated into our language to say falling away, apostasia. Apostasia means a defection from truth. So this man of sin is connected to causing people to defect from truth. Now, let's get specific here. It's not any people that he will be connected to causing them to defect from truth. What people you think it is? It's the Christians. It's the Christians. Now, once again, let's dig on this a little bit deeper here. Once again, the word falling away is dealing with the Greek word there, apostasia, Apostasy means defection from truth. Now let's turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, and let's look at verse 17, okay? John chapter 17, verse 17, okay? And keep your places there, and I'm going to turn into the word of the Lord here, and I'm going to turn to what is called the 28th message, okay? And I'm going to explain to you guys why I'm doing this, okay? Because this goes in connection with what this original Greek word for that's translated falling away means, okay? Now, once again, the word falling away means, the original Greek word apostasia means defection from truth, okay? In John chapter 17, verse 17, we are told what truth really is. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. So since the word apostasia means defection from truth, it means the defection from the word. Message 28. Jesus sent this out January the 24th, 1932. Message 28, verse 4. He says, come out of her, ye that seek truth, for my word is truth. You get that? So the truth, number one, is the word of God. So when it says that the falling away must happen first and the man of sin be revealed, the falling away, the defection from the word. So who is really was with the word in order for them to defect or leave or turn away from the word? Who was he talking about? Well, he wasn't talking about the sinner because the sinner was never with the word. So it had to be, have to be what? Christians. This man of sin is going to be connected and to causing some Christians to turn away from the word of God. In fact, let's go a little bit more deeper. Any Christian is in danger of being connected to anyone with an antichrist spirit that can cause them to turn away from the word of God. You get what I'm saying? Now, if you weren't going to be here as a Christian, what would you need to know this for? The word apostasia, which is the original Greek word, also we have an English word that we derive from that called apostasy, okay? Apostasy. And I want to give you a definition of the word apostasy. See, this all ties in together. Amen. I'm going to give you a definition of the word apostasy. Apostasy, according to Webster, means renunciation of a religious faith. It also means abandonment of a previous loyalty. That's what defection means. So once again, who is that applied to? Got to apply to Christians and not apply to sinners. So this man of sin, this is why you, see, understand this. This is why God had Paul warning Christians. This episode one, two sinners. And Paul said, listen, I'm going to warn you now. This man of sin is going to be connected to causing, he can cause you to renounce the faith. He can cause you to become unfaithful. He can cause you to abandon your loyalty to God. That's what all this means about the falling away. Excuse me. So, hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? So, once again, if you're not going to be here, what's the sense of you want being warned about this? Because remember, he wasn't warning the sinners. He was warning Christians. You understand that? That's who he was warning. Hallelujah. That's another reason why it's not going to be no pre-tribulation rapture. As I said to you guys many times before, man, if anybody on the face of this earth wish it was true is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. I'm going to tell you something. It's Brother Nathaniel Hunt. If anybody wish it was true, it's me. But it ain't true. Because it sounds so great, so beautiful. Man, listen. If I know any day I can be gone, oh, my goodness. How much joy you... Oh, my goodness. Boy. To know any day I can just step out the house and shoot, I'm gone. I can be laying here in the bed. Shoot, I'm gone. I can be driving my car. Shoot, I'm gone. Man, I mean, thank you. But it ain't true. It's not true. Hallelujah. I wish it was, but it's not true. I want to read a scripture to you from the record of the Nephite. And this is the book of Alma, chapter 46. You know, yes, the Lord witnessed to others over here. These Nephites was on this continent during the prehistoric times, and God gave them commandments and instructions and ordinances and judgments. And guess what, people? And it was not contradictory to what he gave the people in Jerusalem. See, that's another thing about not searching and seeking. See, I know some of you, many of you, even as Christians, you only know the Bible. And, of course, you think the Bible is the only book of God's word. And I get that because I was like you guys, too, until I searched even the Bible. And the Bible mentioned there were books. The Bible itself does not possess, but it's still part of the word of God. And then there are some of you who can't fathom the thought that God dealt with others besides the Jews over there in Jerusalem. You got to understand, Israel had 12 sons, not one, okay? That's why they call the 12 tribes of Israel. So God ain't that type of person just to deal with. He's going to deal with just one and the other 11. He not going to deal with them? Sure he is. But see, we're so used to just looking at one way that, okay, God only dealt with Jews. And I'm not saying everything people coming with that saying is of God is of God. That's not true. But you got to learn how to search and compare and see, okay? You got to learn how to do that. It'll be the great difference between you being deceived, okay? I'm telling you. Now, in this book of Alma, chapter 46, it says, behold, this is verse 20. Alma chapter 46, verse 20, it said, behold, whosoever will maintain this title upon the land, let them come forth in the strength of the Lord and enter into a covenant that they will maintain their rights and their religion, that the Lord God may bless them. And it came to pass that when Moroni had proclaimed these words, behold, the people came running together with their armor girded about their loins, rending their garments in token, or as a covenant that they would not forsake, okay, the Lord their God, or in other words, if they should transgress the commandments of God or fall into transgression and be ashamed to take upon them the name of Christ, the Lord should rend them even as they had rend their garments. Now, I gave you the definitions or the meanings of dealing with the fallen away. And also another word for the fallen away means to forsake. Okay? Hallelujah. So these Nephites made a covenant to not forsake from God or apostatize. Okay? Hallelujah. They made this covenant, okay? So we can see that this falling away involves the breaking of the covenant with God and falling into transgression, because you cannot renounce the faith, break your loyalty to God, abandon him, forsaking him, and still walk in righteousness. You can't do it. If you could do that, then you might well have stayed a sinner. Amen. You might well have stayed a sinner, people. Hallelujah. And see, this man of sin, and all through the periods, like I told you, all through the generations, they faced their man of sin in their time, their Antichrist. And some of God's people through the time was turned away from the faith. And understand this, that these antichrists, these men of sin, had a way of doing it. You know, much of it was by persecution. Amen. Threatening to kill you. Because some Christians, even through the time of the Roman emperors up there to the popes, many Christians was killed alive for their faith. Because the highest level of persecution that Satan will work through man to use man to do at you to turn you from the faith is that physical, that high level of persecution where they threaten your life. You understand that? This is why the Apostle Paul was being used to warn us as Christians. Paul didn't tell you any day now you're going to be gone and don't worry about the man of sin when he comes. He's warning you that the fall of the way got to happen first. And why else? What other reasons warning? Because when you see, he's also warning you and letting you know that this man of sin is going to be connected to many Christians that's going to turn away from the faith, but also that this don't discourage you. Because some people, when they see, let's say people they greatly respect in the Lord, turn away from Christ, that messes them up. Some people are devastated. You understand what I'm saying? Some of them have great respect for the leaders in Christ and stuff like that, and now they see these same leaders and went back in the world, and it devastates them. This is why God always have us, even as leaders, to not only teach you guys the word of God, but to point you to having a personal relationship with Christ for yourself. Because everybody, quote, in the Lord is not going to stay, quote, in the Lord, period. I'm just letting you know. This is where this warning coming in from the Apostle Paul, because the man of sin is going to be able to have some type of influence on them to lead them away to renouncing the faith, either through the persecution or the so-called things that he will offer them according to their flesh. And see, many of the, some of the Christians who renounced from the faith, someone was threatened with persecution, and they, oh, man, I can't die for this. I'm just going to let you know the truth now. Oh, man, I can't die for this, man. I got. Why do you think, and Jesus told us in Matthew 24, he said, when they deliver you up, to be beaten in the synagogues, to be afflicted. See, many of us is going to face that physical persecution, that threatening of our life. He said it. Now, I'm not here trying to scare anybody, because some of you listening to this, you go, I don't want to hear no brother Nate, you're scaring me. Listen, fear is not going to protect you. You can claim I'm scared. Once again, Brother Nate is not purposely trying to, quote, scare you. But we can all proclaim, I'm scared. But when it comes down to it, when the smoke clears and when the truth is staring you in the face, fear is not going to protect you. It's not going to protect you, people. If anything, it should tell us to get more prepared in Christ, because the downside of this is that fear could cause you to renounce Jesus. See, some of them that were saved, they renounced Christ. When their life was threatened, they said, hey, this ain't worth this. Because, see, you got some people, they're especially the hallelujah people. Now, we're supposed to say hallelujah, Jesus, don't get me wrong. But that's all some of them are, the hallelujah people. The hallelujah people in the service, clapping, jumping, rolling on the floor, doing the shake. But when it comes time that you being approached because of your faith in Christ and the life being threatened, then you start seeing some changes. And people say, well, man, I can't deal with this. I can't lose my life for this. And some people going to renounce Christ, and it ain't going to be all about them, their life being threatened. It's about what's going to be taken from them. See, this is why God tells us to be careful where we place our hearts. And you got some Christians, they all into the money, the cars, and the houses. So when they see that house about to be taken, Those cars are about to be taken. That money is about to be taken. Excuse me. That popularity or notoriety that they got is about to be taken. They're going to be going like, man, I don't think I can. Oh, no. Man, I can't lose that. And so when they're presented with a compromising position, they'll go, well, okay, you know, I still can serve the Lord and still have these things. People, listen. Listen. We got to quit helping the devil laugh at us. Because he's just back in the background saying those fools and just falling out laughing. We gotta quit helping the devil laugh at us. Because that's exactly what he's doing. And to say the least, this Antichrist, just like the Pope, he carries the Antichrist spirit. And the real thing about him is coming out even more. When he first come on the scene and they ask a certain question about homosexuality and all that, when you listen to his answers had you like Barack Obama wondering like, okay, man, what are you completely saying? Yes or no? Because why? He tried to play the in-between game until things came up where you had to really come out, just like Obama. Obama tried to play the in-between game for so long, and then after so long, he had to come out and say. He had to get a yay or a nay. And see, this man now, this Pope now, he's coming out more letting you know he done told a man that God made him like a homosexual. Come on. And told him that God loves him that way. Come on. But what kind of God are we talking about here? We ain't talking about the true and living God. Not the same God that say homosexuality is abomination. Not the same God. He ain't loving. How is he loving you that way? And he didn't told you that's an abomination. Confusion. And that's what the man of sin is. He's also numbered a ball of confusion. And so you got to watch people that try to get you to walk over, walk back. And when I mean walk back over the word of God, just go back against it. Okay? You got to be watched for that, people. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. So we're being warned. When I say we, I'm talking about Christians, about this man of sin and his connection to the renouncing of the faith. And if you look among the Christian community, especially those who are, quote, well-known and popular and stuff like that, you know, much Christianity, especially the gospel singing part and all these speakers, is becoming like, instead of Hollywood, Christianwood. Because that's what, you know, we got terms like my fans, you know, my fans, divas, gospel divas, legend, man, come on. We calling ourselves kings and princes of gospel. Man, my God. And you can see how some of them is even compromising. You know, I said this before, it's just like some of your gospel singers. This is why we got to be humble and small in our own eyes. Because I've seen some gospel singers, when they first started out in gospel, man, you talking about the anointing of the Holy Ghost on their voice. Well, good Lord. Song they were singing was anointed. But here's another thing, too. They dress plain. They dress respectable. They dress decent. Wasn't no putting this and that on. And now, when they start becoming well-known, men getting their ears pierced and the women showing their breasts more and their breasts at the top of their breasts. Man, you just seeing breasts all over the place, wearing the tightest whatever. And you start seeing the change with them. And you go, you look at the secular people, what they do on stage, and you look at what, quote, gospel is doing on stage, and you say, where's the difference? Where the difference at? I mean, good Lord. You know, you got secular singers wearing stuff, see-through, showing their breasts and everything, tight whatever, and bent over, and you can see whatever, but now you're seeing some of the gospel singers on the stage wearing the same stuff. People, please hear the warning. Wake up. If you sleep, wake up. Let me. I'm giving you this word. I pray this word will shake you and wake you up. Wake up. Wake up. If you don't see what is happening, this is why the Lord been sending the Elijah. To prepare people. The people he's preparing is going to be the faithful in Christ. See, we've been preaching about the second coming of Christ, which is true. And we've been preaching that he's coming back for the bride, which is true. But we have not been preaching the process that the people must come to, go through, to, at the final end, be the bride. And this is why you people think, this is why many people think that they can do anything, live any kind of way and still be called, I'm of the bride. Fornicators, idolaters, uncleanness, adulterers, you know, drunkards, amen, revelings, all of that, with no conviction, and still throwing your hands up, talking about, I'm of the bride. What bride you here? Any man in his right mind, when he's marrying a bride, don't want a drunkard bride, don't want a bride. Bride is, she coming to him, and she wobbling. You're like, baby, what's wrong with you? I'm all right. You had a couple of this and that. So turn it off. Any good man in his right mind, no. Any good man in his right mind don't want to be married to a woman that's an adulterer. That he come across and know that, hey, she's supposed to be with me and my wife, but I got to go to work worried about what man she's going to be with next. And don't no man, not no good man. Not a good man. I'm going to stop it there today. I'll stop it here. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast. Lord God, I thank you. Jesus, for you are Lord and you are God. I thank you for this opportunity you've given me to present your word to those that are listening. And Lord, I pray that you water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. I thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, tonight at 7 p.m., we have another broadcast, Brother Eddie Lee. Full gospel broadcast at 7 p.m. So once again, this is Brother Nate. The Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.